As the kids were going out this morning, I noticed Theodore, he had these big boots on. Love it. Kids ready for action. Boots are made for walking. And that's what they're going to do. Church, this morning, I just wanted to kind of try something different for a little bit, and I hope that it is the right decision, but I think it is. So I found ourselves, we had the camp out last weekend, and we find ourselves here at the harvest time, the Thanksgiving time, kind of gearing up for Christmas, and every year when we approach this time of year, I know in my heart, and I think for a lot of us, we recognize that it is a significant time of year, right? We're a pretty agricultural group of people living in a pretty agricultural place, and so fall time has its significance. It's the time when the crops are getting brought in, and there's sort of a natural rhythm to it. The world is slowing down, nature is slowing down, and we're kind of going into the fall and the winter months. And I always want to make it feel special too. And I feel like that kind of there's a kind of a fight that goes on inside of a lot of us, because it is a special time of year as we sort of head toward the end of it and toward the holiday season. And yet there's sort of expectations and its own set of trials, right, that also seem to mount at that time of year. As you know, we ended our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians a couple of weeks ago, and we had the camp out last weekend, and we have sort of about a four-week gap between now and when the Advent season starts. You know, as a church, we try to use that Advent season to kind of build some expectation of Christ's Advent, and we gear toward Christmas. And so I, as the preacher, I guess, was trying to say, what do I do with 4 weeks? Do we start another book? Because I think it is good and right and proper to walk through books together of the Bible. That's a good way to do it, I think. Do we start a book and then have to take a pause, you know, and start in with Christmas stuff and then pick it back up after the first of the year? I didn't like that idea too well, just starting and stopping and things. So I said, okay, let's do something a little dangerous. Dangerous for me. It's not dangerous for you. You can relax. I decided to take the next 4 weeks, including this Sunday, and talk about a few topical messages, something I don't normally do a lot. Because I think sometimes it's good for us to have a season, a little bit of a reset, to talk about some of the fundamental things that maybe sometimes they don't fall by the wayside, but maybe we don't do a very good job of keeping them front and center. And I'll explain that a little bit more as we begin. But this morning I want to read, before we really get going here, I want to read from, I think, it's certainly one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and you hear it from me all the time. And we're going to be some other places today too. But I want to read a few verses from the book of John, chapter 1, before we get started. I must confess and just get it out in the open that whenever I go to this passage, I told my wife a couple days ago, I feel like a broken record sometimes. She says, don't talk about that. Well, I'm talking about it. But this is one of the passages that I go to all the time, especially when the pressure's on. And so I want to talk about it, and then we're going to unpackage a few things this morning. But John chapter 1 begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I'm going to skip down to verse 9. It says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're going to ponder some of these things today, but before we begin, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we have that statement before us. We thank you that you are the light that makes sense of our world. This morning, Lord, as we look to you and as we look to your scriptures, as we take a little bit of a reset, I pray, Lord, that you would send your Spirit here to speak to our hearts the simple and powerful truth of who you are, who you want to be in our lives, and our inheritance that we have in you as your children. Lord, I ask this morning that you take center stage and that you would be active and at work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would prepare the soil of our hearts to receive your truth in a powerful way this morning. We pray that you would push out darkness and lies this morning. And, Lord, that you would get glory from this time. As I do pray each week, Lord, I ask that you would smooth my wrinkles and guard my words. And we pray that you would just get glory here today from your children. That's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's funny how we can get caught up in a pattern of thinking that can cloud out what is true and what is good, isn't it? I just want to make a note here that it is I feel it every week. There's such a privilege that we can journey together toward and with God. What a gift that God does not isolate us and that we have to try to figure him out or try to seek him out in our own lives alone, but we can do it together as his children. Several weeks back, as we were going through 1 Corinthians, I hope you remember this because I want to stay in a certain posture together with God, and that is in a posture of expectation. But I also told you guys, you have permission to dream about what church could be like. You know, we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We were talking about how God manifests himself in your life and in your life and in my life to come together to build his kingdom. We have to, I think, really kind of work at making space to dream about what God could do in us. Don't you think? It's really easy to forget it. It's even only just been probably a couple months ago that we were talking about that. But it's easy to let things cloud that out. I want to take that same posture for the next few weeks here because I think sometimes, I know if in my life and I know in yours, we need those sort of hard resets, especially when we live in times like this and the flurry of life. I had a huge week, a lot of stuff going on. Anybody else have a big week? Yeah, I know some of you did. You may not want to raise your hands and talk about it, but in our lives, we meet so many different expectations, don't we? We have expectations of ourselves, things that we want to be, things, you know, places where we want to get in life, and we pile those things on us. Or sometimes it's demands on our lives that we didn't necessarily choose. I mean, we know we had a role in it, right, getting to where we are in our different walks of life and occupations and roles and stuff, but it seems that the demands keep coming. Sometimes, I didn't choose to be here. This was inflicted upon me almost. And people are expecting from me. I'm expecting of myself, but then other people are expecting of me too. The pressures that life puts on us. And whenever we encounter in our lives expectations or demands that are coming at us, the other thing that always pops up is how far we fall short of meeting those expectations. Our own expectations. And then we have that grinding fear, right, that we're not meeting others' expectations of us to come through in a way for them. We feel we fall so short of what is required, and there's so much sometimes that feels undone in our lives. Whether it can be simple as a to-do list at home or a to-do list at work that mounts and mounts and mounts, and the pressure and the flurry of all of it kind of culminate together. Mix in with that unanswered questions that we have. Where is God in this? What am I supposed to do? There are, it feels kind of funny bringing this to our attention. We're all intimately familiar with this, aren't we? We can get so caught up in the things that are set before us and our way of thinking and trying to navigate our days that it kind of sometimes all swirls up and obscures our vision until we can find ourselves in a place that's really hard. It's really difficult and really confusing. So much to the point where we can start to inadvertently, not on purpose, but we can start to believe lies. Start to believe lies about ourselves or about our world. Start to believe. We can start to believe that we are failures. We have failed. I love that there's an old Western, The Shakiest Gun in the West with Don Knotts. It's one of those funny Westerns. You know, and there's one scene in there where he's just totally dejected, and if you haven't seen it, it's pretty funny. So he's totally dejected, and he's sitting there, and he's drinking whiskey, and he says to the lady that's across from him, he says, "I've always been the most failure of anybody." He says, "There's two things that have always been my downfall." That's what he says. Two things that have always been my downfall. One, I've always been the most failure of anybody, and I'm too thin. Those were his downfalls. We can start to believe those things, though, when the pressures mount and the expectations mount, our hopes mount, and we can feel inadequate or stuck. We can start to believe that we're totally a failure, that there isn't any way out. But we just got to trudge through. We can start looking for escapes. We can start to believe that God is far away. We can start to believe, and this is a tough one, we can start to actually believe that whether we would say it like this or not, we can start to believe that God doesn't really care about my situation. That my situation is unique. It's so far out of the context of what scriptures say, or that, you know, that there's no connection point. God doesn't say anything about this situation or what I'm dealing with. I'm out of the scope or out of the context of what really God has to offer. That can be a pretty dark place. You ever found yourself there? I have. When that happens, we just as people, we have tendencies to try to reach out for things. We try to grab a hold of things, don't we? To give us some comfort in any of that. One way or another. We can distract ourselves. Some of this comes out of our meetings as men. You know, we talk about things, the ways that these monsters in our lives. We can start to make an attempt at distraction, so I don't have to think about the mounting pressure. For Cash's birthday this week. It was Tuesday. I took the day off, and we spent the day, and it was a bizarre day because as soon as we left town, right? Wasn't it as soon as we left town? I took the day off a week ahead of time. And as soon as we left town, my phone just starts going. And here I had carved out a day, you know, to try to be a decent dad and everything. And the phone's just ringing off. It's just going and going and going. And there's stuff going on. And I'm not there to help out with it. And I felt guilty about that, of course, you know. And here I'm trying to be a good dad and spend the day with my son on his birthday and everything. But a part of that day, we went to a movie. And we went to a movie there in Altoona, and we're in the movie, and you know, that was such a great environment because it's a huge screen, and I totally got saturated in this movie. It wasn't one that maybe I necessarily would have picked out, but it was all right. And I got so engrossed in that movie that all the cares and the pressure and the phone calls and stuff just sort of melted away. It's a real temptation. And then, you know, as soon as you walk back out into the sunlight, it's like, oh yeah, I'm still here. It can be real easy to start to choose different things like that in our life to just get an escape. Just, I'll exit to another world for a while. We also talked in our men's meeting about the doom scrolling, you know, the mindless doom scrolling. You know what I'm talking about? The get on the Facebook or get on the Reels or get on the whatever and just start scrolling. Just feed me. Feed me something distracting or interesting or titillating or whatever. We can get caught in these distractions, try to escape from our world for a little bit. Of course, It's also a temptation at times to just turn to pleasure. Solomon had a few things to say about that. If you read Ecclesiastes, he was out, you know, looking for wisdom. What's going to make this world make sense? He says he didn't deny himself anything. And if you want to do some study about that, he really meant anything. He was doing it all to try to find that element. He found it all meaningless. We can find ourselves in a real pickle sometimes, and we start to believe that isolation, or we start to believe patterns that keep bringing themselves up, and we can make some big mistakes, and it happens without us really noticing. A couple of examples. We can start to operate off false information. This morning, this very morning, everybody's getting ready, and I was like, I got to eat something before I go to church, or else I'm going to be, you guys are going to hear my stomach rumbling, and because I have a microphone strapped right here, it's very embarrassing. So I knew I wasn't really hungry, but I knew I needed to eat something, so I open up the fridge, and I see, oh, there's a bowl of hard-boiled eggs in the fridge. There's a bowl of eggs. Well, anytime there's a bowl of eggs and they're not in the carton, that means that they're hard-boiled eggs that somebody made up. So I was like, oh, great, I'll grab a hard-boiled egg. So I go over to the sink to responsibly break the shell off my egg, you know, not make a huge mess, right? Don't do it on the counter. You'll get in trouble. And I begin to crack the egg, and what happens? It ran all out. It wasn't a hard-boiled egg at all. It was not a boiled egg at all. It was just an egg, just an egg. But you know, I was acting on a false set of beliefs, and I made a mess. Luckily, it was in the sink, and not on the counter. This morning, I walk into church, and I saw something on the ground, and I said, "There's an M30 pill on the ground. There's an illicit oxycodone. Somebody dropped a street drug on the floor. It was a little bead that fell off of somebody's." But do you see how easy we can just slip into, I don't even know what to call it, a rut, a way of thinking, because we're exposed to just so much stuff. We can start to operate off of false information, and the world becomes such a dark place. This was a good thing on the ground. A kid was making a project, a good, pure, beautiful, creative thing, and I thought it was a street drug. Really, it's a wake-up call sometimes. A wake-up call. Yeah, we can live off false positive information, thinking the eggs are hard-boiled and they're not. We can live off false negative information, think everything's out to get us and the world's an evil place, when really it's just a bead. I think, church, today, and that's all I want to offer today, is just a few simple things. We need to remind ourselves of what is true. In a hard world, we have a hard world, and I have a sneaking suspicion this week might be a little wild. Might be a little wild. We got a big election coming up, and it doesn't matter where you stand on the spectrum. I think we're pretty conservative church, a group of people rather, but it doesn't matter which side of the spectrum you're on. We know, right? I heard stories this morning, people boarding up windows in cities, because they expect violence, and they expect the rhetoric, and they expect all of the chaos and things. It's a really good time to just stop and remind ourselves of what is true. That can be one of the hardest things as a Christian, as we try to live out our lives and try to listen to what Jesus has to say. With all of our circumstances, with all of our expectations, with all of our ruts and our patterns and our tendencies, and our temptations, is to connect those points of tension and those points of expectation and those ruts and those failures, connect them with what Jesus says and what Jesus is. He is the light. The great revealer. That's what light is. It's the great revealer. Darkness cannot exist where there is light. And lies only have power when we believe them and when we act on them. And I think one of the biggest lies that we're going to confront this morning is that we have to solve the problem ourselves. Isn't it? I fall into this one all the time. And in fact, this week I was telling Nick, this week I was working on a report. I was typing away at my computer and my watch went off. And my watch, I have my illustrious Gen 3 Apple Watch, said something like, cardio health alert. And I looked and I was like, what? What's the cardiac health alert? It said, your heart rate has been over 120 beats per minute for 20 minutes with no activity. And I thought, I'm getting myself all worked up, aren't I? Expectation, right? The pressure. And I tend to think of myself as a person who handles well under pressure. Beat my chest a little bit. But it happens to us all. We can get worked up with these things. We need a reset. We need to restart the device, right? Sometimes when your phone's not working right, or your computer's not working right, or your TV, or whatever it is, some electronic device that's not working right, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Reset. Restart. Let's have a restart this morning. We do not proclaim ourselves. We're not going to overcome our problems, our ruts, our tendencies, our temptations by ourselves and by our own power. We're not going to build the kingdom with our own power. But rather, it's through Christ. We need to take a deep breath. And tell ourselves what is true. A good dose of truth and a good dose of encouragement. And I want to read for you. It's in your bulletin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but I'm actually going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you feel stressed and you feel under the pressure, you feel like, oh no, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to save myself? How am I going to save my family? How am I going to save my church? How am I going to save my community? Just think about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's talking about how we're supposed to bring light to the world here. That's the context. The ministry of reconciliation has been given to us. We got a burden to carry here. And this is what he says. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, the ministry of reconciling the world, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here it is. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down even, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be, life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. He says it again. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Oh man, I tell you what, that scripture really spoke to my heart this week. Really did. Let it wash over you today. The pressures, the expectations, the failures, even. It is not us, it is not our power, or our church, or our abilities that we proclaim to the world. It is Christ. We have the truth that He has shown in our hearts, in your heart, and in my heart, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ. The power belongs to God. And let me tell you, I felt this week, me personally, a huge weight of relief when I decided to just let light, the light of that truth, shine in stuff. Because I can start to think that I got to fix it. I got to help. I got to mend it. I got to change the world. I can't. But I know the one who can. And I don't know, you know, we all have varying circumstances. We don't all carry the same burdens. But I know you carry them. And I know I carry them. They're different. But that truth goes over all of them. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to have it figured out. We don't have to have all the answers. All we have to do is know the one who does. And believe that and speak it. It says that in that passage, so we believe and so we speak. There's tremendous power in that. Look, I don't have the answers, but I know God does. And it sounds so simple. It sounds too simple, doesn't it? But there's truth to that. We have a cross in the front of our sanctuary. And it's really easy to get, to even let that be a rut, where we see it and we be like, yeah, you know, it just is what it is. The church, of course, there's a cross in the front, right? But when we start to think about the fact of how we apply this passage of Scripture, that stress that you're feeling about whatever it is you're carrying, the shortcomings that mix in there, the brokenness of our world, your personal sin, my personal sin, all of it was born right there. Born as in carried. He carried it. The pressure to come through, the pressure to win, the pressure to not screw it up, He bore that too. Isn't that wild? And it's true. Your to-do list that nags on your conscience, He bore that too. And He carries it. Because He died and was raised to life, none of that has to have any power over you. We groan, yeah, we groan, don't we? The Bible talks about we groan with all creation. Yeah, we groan. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and make it right. We squirm. It's just like, it's so awesome having a little kid. Because he manifests so many things that are in our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts. When he's in his car seat and he's strapped in there and he don't want to be, that's kind of how I feel sometimes, you know? Get me out of this thing. We feel that way. We groan, we squirm, dissatisfied, hungry for something more, for something right, for something true. Get angry. It's not all unjustified. But the Bible talks about God's grace expanding. And it does. It can. But we have to remind ourselves of what is true. What is true is that Jesus is the light of the world. He came to the world to shine that light, and darkness cannot and has not and will not overcome it. That is true. So that's the hard reset this morning. To fix our eyes not on what is seen, what is apparent, what we feel, but what is unseen, that which is eternal. Now, I don't know, again, I said this before, I don't know how specifically to apply that in your life, but you do. You know the things that have been worrying you. You know the things that have been pressuring you. You know the things and the areas in which you fall short. What I'm here to tell you today is that Jesus not only cares about those things, but has the power to remove their power from your life. What it takes is us being willing to take those and just lay them out in that light. So I don't know how, you know, you need to apply that today. But I do know that when you do, the power of them, the power of that darkness, when brought to the light, is gone. It has no power anymore. That's the posture of our hearts this morning. That's the direction we need to face, is toward Him. And not toward the problems, not toward the ruts, not toward the sins, but toward His power to overcome them. Here in a second, we're gonna celebrate communion. And that is exactly what we're doing. When we celebrate communion, is acknowledging He is the bread of life. He is that which gives us power, which gives us sustenance. We take in the bread, we take in the cup. It becomes one with us. He becomes one with us. Us in Him, and Him in us. So I don't know how you need to take this to the Lord this morning. God will speak to you about that. But I just ask that you're obedient in that. Whatever He brings to mind, whatever you need to lay in front of the light this morning, maybe a hard reset is in order. Because He is faithful. When we confess, when we bring our worries, our troubles, our pressures to light, that light overpowers the darkness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You so much that Your word stands true, that You stand vindicated, Lord, as being the great revealer. And Lord, we all are guilty at times of taking it on ourselves to fix what is broken. Sometimes we take it on ourselves to get ourselves right. Sometimes we take it on ourselves to seek out meaning. But Lord, we know that that's not our job, that's Your job. Lord, I don't know what things have been burdening each of all of us today, but You do. And so, Lord, I ask today that You would come in power, that You'd send Your Spirit to show us the areas that we need to give over to You this morning, whether that be a sin or whether it would be just a burden that we're carrying improperly, whether we're trying to self-preserve or what. You know, Lord. And so I ask that You'd speak to us this morning as the fellows come up for communion today, as we celebrate that which You gave us to remember You by. I pray, Lord, that Your voice would speak and that Your people would be obedient to it. For it's in Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.